Okay. Our brother that's going to share a short word today is a dear friend of ours. He's from the class of 1992, and he wants to have a 30-year reunion for the class in June. And he's an evangelist. He loves people. He has an amazing sense of humor. And I think he's going to have great rewards at the Bema seat. And I don't want that to go to his head. But he is Christian farmers, evangelist, Greater Grace, MBCNS, alumni, and just a great friend and servant, Donnie Fisher.
It used to only be $5 I had to give him for an introduction. Now it's up to 20. Well, good morning, everybody. Great to be here with you. You guys remember the in Scripture, and what did David, when he saw Goliath mocking his God, what did he do? Do you guys remember? What did he do? Talk to me as pastor. Before he let the slingshot fly, what did he do? He ran to him, right? He ran at Goliath. He wasn't messing around. He ran into the battle, and that's what we want to talk about briefly here this morning. He ran to the battle. And he was, I mean, Goliath was 10 foot tall. That's the size of a basketball hoop. So Coach Lynch couldn't dunk over Goliath either. So because it's the same height. Neither could I, by the way. But he ran to the battle. And here's a question I want us to think of. Do we want to live in the sound of chapel bells, or do we want to run a mission a yard from the gate of hell? I'll repeat that because it's really I got that from an old song from the early mid-80s. Some people want to live near the sound of chapel bells, but I want to run a mission a yard from the gate of hell. Run to the battle like David ran to Goliath. And, you know, we're having, nobody knows when Christ is going to return. We don't know the hour or the day. But we do have discernment. We know the season. And I think we're pretty close, if not in that season. Amen? We're in the season. We're just a few years away, thank God, because I don't think my body can take anymore. It's wearing out faster than I would like. And I know some of you can agree with me. Can I hear an amen, Pastor Sturge? He's as young as I am. But so, you see, our bodies are wearing out, but what do we need to keep doing? Running to the battle. Run to the battle, because there's a war going on, a war for the souls of mankind. It's not a war for Middle Earth, like, you know, Lord of the Rings, if you're into those movies. But it's a war for Earth, the souls of mankind, the lost and dying of this world. And so because we're in this war, we have to run to the battle. If we're just kind of walking like, sadly, 99% of Christianity is just kind of waddling along like ducks and just, you know, there's no urgency, but we need to be like David and run to this battle for the souls of mankind. And it's just an amazing thing to consider, to run like David. He was just a little squirt coming up an armor-plated warrior, Goliath, that probably was 2.5 times the size of him, and probably the same 2.5 times in weight. But you see, we're in this pandemic, and you know, people were afraid. Some churches aren't even meeting yet, but we need to. Thank God, Greater Grace is running to the battle, aren't we? Yeah. We're running to the battle. We're not just going to sit around and pray for people to get saved. Well, we need to do that, but And I cringe when people say, well, we're praying for people to get saved. It's like, well, how about praying them and then get your backside out of the chair or the pew and get out there and pass out some tracts at least. You can train a monkey to pass out tracts. Anybody can do that. And, you know, we need to run to the battle, whether it be tracts or wristbands or street preaching. Actually, all of the above are really good. Excuse me. You know, again, our bodies are failing. The pandemic, we see communism kind of just wanting to take over. But what do we need to do, even though that's happening? What do? Brothers and sisters, run to the battle. We need to run to the battle. Maybe our kids aren't walking with God. Well, what do parents, what do we need to do? Run to the battle. And we just, you know, the devil's walking around as a roaring lion. He wants to devour us. But even though we've got that enemy, and he's a great enemy, but he's nothing compared to our Lord. We may be many in number, but we serve a mighty Lord, so we need to what? Run to this battle, yes. And we need some sticky stuff here to make this stick up here. He's made us more than conquerors so that we can always do what? Run to the battle. And I hope if you, all you remember is run to the battle. I've done my job this morning. I'm a happy man. But guys, living a yard, and I think this is what greater grace is. You know, when the ministry was in the other place in Western Mass, it was kind of just, although we were still running to the battle there, but a lot of churches were just kind of near the sounds of chapel bells there, you know, religion. But thank God, even more so in Baltimore for 34 years now, since 87, we're a yard from the gate of hell. A mission, we're running a mission, a yard from the gate of hell. And I just, it's such an amazing privilege to be a part of you guys. And it's for 41 plus years now. And the only reason I know how to run to the battle is because the guys over here, some of them were my professors back in the late 80s, early 90s in Bible college. And they taught me and taught you to what? Run to the battle. So, you know, it doesn't matter what's happening. You know, there are brothers and sisters quitting all around us. All the time, churches closing and no longer, not just because of the pandemic, but closing permanently, even before. I think several dozen churches every week closed their doors, and that was before the pandemic started. They're not running, you can't run to the battle if your doors aren't open. And if your doors are open and you're just sitting in there preaching the gospel to a bunch of saved people every week, that's not running to the battle. So, doesn't matter what happens. You know, we're all getting older. We're all, the bodies are failing. We're living in this body of sin and death. But we need to what? Run to the battle. Run to this battle. And it's a great battle. But he's made us more than conquerors. So what are we waiting for? Let's run to the battle. Father God, thank you for the blessing of being in front of my brothers and sisters here in Baltimore. Pray that you'd give us all courage, strength, energy, to run, to be in this battle and never quit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're so thankful for all the ladies that are visiting with us. Thank you from Indiana and New York. And been great, great weekend. Excellent weekend. Well, so Jesus, yes, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your grace, 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 marvelous grace. Oh God, thank you. We are in your family. Oh God, thank you. Bless your word now in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you're already seated. My eyes were closed. I didn't know you were seated. Okay. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. And the days of deception that we see around us in our world, in our culture. What does it mean to be deceived or misled? I think we should know that we've all been somehow tricked or misled or deceived. I used to live in Hungary during when communism changed the money market, changed, so there was a black market for dollars, so you could buy, sell dollars, and so I got into taking some of my money and doing the illegal thing, and was cheated. And I came home with a wad of money, I think $300, and I came home with a wad of Yugoslavian money, wrapped with Hungarian money. So I was tricked and deceived. God dealt with me, you know, mercilessly. I was very embarrassed and ashamed about it. And I told my wife, and what do you think my wife did? Oh, she took me in her arms and consoled me. It's okay. It's okay. Let's move on. God is good. God is good. Give my wife a hand. She's over there. She's over there somewhere. There she is. Every man needs a good woman like that. Okay? Because all the single men meet me afterwards down front. Okay, we can arrange something. We have the most amazing women in this church, don't we? We got amazing women, married and unmarried, and some of the unmarried, you should be so thankful that you are unmarried. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 2, and we'll just start reading. But there were false prophets also among the people. Now, in chapter 1, 2 Peter 1, we have the Christian, really the Christian growing, partaking of God's divine nature. Verse 4, he's adding faith to virtue, add to your faith virtue. Verse 5, chapter 1, verse 4, 5, you see him maturing. This is Peter's message, that the Christian should mature. This is a list. The lists in the Bible are worth noting. Like, note the lists. Paul has many lists. Pastor Shibeli has many lists. I take note of those lists. Peter has a list here, and what this list means. It's really maturing. This is what happened with Job in the story of Job. He matured. He grew up. He learned. He became wise. He was humble. He was broken. He was quiet. He was informed. He was increasing. And I would love for you and I to think that we are growing. We are increasing in the days that we are living. One warning is that Jesus said in Luke 18:8, I wanted to go to this text, but just I wanted to say this. I tell you that he will avenge them. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Even though God answers prayer, Jesus says, but when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The idea is maybe when he comes, there will not be faith. Why? Here's why. Man has reason and emotion and feeling, and I'll put here this psychology of our culture. I have a word here. (Clears throat) Middle Ages, which were strong on reason but weak on psychological introspection and attention to feeling and experience, the crucial problem was the relation between faith and reason. In the Middle Ages, okay, faith and reason, not your feelings or hurts or wounds or your suffering. That was not a question in their mind. That was like life. Life was suffering. There was a lot of that. It was more, is God here even if I am suffering? But we have moved from reason to today where we have very strong our life is very strong in the area of our feelings. You hurt me. You know, we hear it all the time. I am a victim. That was unfair to me. How could there be God? Why did this happen to me? When Jesus comes, will there be faith on the earth? It might be that you go from reason to your psychological talking to unbelief. I don't believe in God because he wouldn't, if God exists, we wouldn't have so much suffering. The book of Job is teaching that suffering is part of life and that we are tested. God is not tested. Who could test God? Proverbs 21:30 teaches that. Okay, but now go to 2 Peter 2. There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. That's why I love the Bible teaching, because it's not so much the teacher, it's the teacher with the Bible, with God, learning what God is saying. But unfortunately, in the church moves with the culture and talks about things that people want to hear. We are much more interested in the Word and the authority of the Word and a new way of living where we are listening. And we said Friday night, we turn our eyes, because we are in a world where we are looking and watching videos and movies and everything, and we're not reading, we're not meditating, we're not being quiet, we're not thinking through things. We are much more emotional with big eyes. But it looks like when Abraham got older, Jacob got older, when Isaac was older, they got dim in their eyes, but they prophesied. They saw, even though they were blind. Who is blind like my servant, the Messiah? Jesus, the Messiah, is blind. 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at what is seen in Job's life, very hard not to look at it. He suffered. He lost 10 children. He lost his farm, agriculture. He lost. Don't look at what is seen. Well, how can I do that? How is it that a person can look at what is not seen? But by ears becoming eyes. Ears becoming what you see. What kind of ears? Ears that hear the Word, the Bible, intensively focused, listening. Quiet, focused, not distracted, in faith, in prayer, listening. We said there were four things about the word the other night, and I'll just put them down. Number one, authority. The word has the authority. Listen to this. If the Bible says it and I obey it, I am obeying God. For God spoke it. When God says it and we do it, we are obeying God. Wow. I can obey God. This is through the new birth, the new heart, and the Spirit. This Bible is such a treasure because it gives me this direction so that I have authority. I have authority in my life. One example I've used many times, so old that even Justin was a teenager, so that's how old the illustration is. I said to Justin, put your bicycle in the shed because it's going to rain. So he didn't do it. So I had the authority. I say to my son, put your bicycle in the shed. He doesn't do it. So where does my authority end? Where does the authority end? It ends with him. The bicycle is wet. The idea was the bicycle would be dry. But I didn't. I had the authority, but it ended with my son. But what if the believer, like my son, obeys dad, puts the bicycle in the garage, and my authority goes from my mouth to my garage. It goes from my mouth and we have a dry bicycle. The Bible is the authority of God on the earth. And when a believer is subject to that authority, then he actually is walking in the authority of his Father. Of heaven, authority of God. Isn't that amazing? This is the Spirit of God in you. The joy of obedience. The joy of being submitted. Ears that kind of become eyes. Well, what do I see? I hear my Father. I put the bicycle in the shed. And I see my Father. I see God in my life. Wow. Number two was clarity. Sometimes in the Catholic Church, you couldn't read the Bible because you can't understand it. That contradicts what Jesus said. Have you never read? Matthew 12:3. Jesus was always talking the word as if we could clearly understand it. How is it you do not understand? He said. Matthew 12:7. He always related to the Bible as a book that was clear and easy to understand. It says that in Psalm 119. It gives wisdom to the simple, understanding to the simple, 119, 130. The Bible is not hard to understand. It is God's word, and it is clear, and it's understandable, but it's spiritual. It's not an intellectual thing. Somebody could say, oh, you know the Bible, like how can you understand that? That's only intellectually understood. No. It is not intellectually understood. It is spiritually understood. It is morally submitted to and obeyed. And the understanding of the Bible is what changes our life. So we are not emotional. And I use that word psychological because we have so much talk about guilt and shame and fear and insecurity and poor self-image and many of those phrases which we hear about all the time. But this, you grow beyond these kind of things. Your hurts and your wounds and your fears and everything, you grow beyond it. But there are false teachers. Let's go to the text here. There are false teachers who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bringeth upon themselves swift destruction. So this means that there will be teachers that will be teaching things that are not, they are adding to the Bible or taking away from the Bible. They are not teaching the Bible. Number three on our list here was necessity. Necessity. It is incredibly important to have the Bible. I would not know. There are so many things we would not know, but then we have sufficiency. It is enough. It is enough. When you suffer, it is enough. When you are afraid, it is enough. When you have a bad self-image, it is enough. When you are confused, it is enough. The Bible is a primary method given to man where our eyes become ears and we have fellowship and communion with God. And this is what leads us in truth and a testimony of joy and love and peace. But we are in a time when there are false teachers that are teaching, and there are many expressions of that, different ways. We have the primary thing that cults do is that they add or take away from the Bible. I'll put here a couple of points. Denominations. Sometimes denominational leaders, they make a big deal about those elements that make them a denomination. You know, the element of speaking in tongues or element of water baptism, and they make a big thing out of it. In doing that, they miss the primary thing. The primary thing is love. The primary thing is deeper understanding. The primary thing is this Holy Spirit leading the Christian in a deeper life, with more confidence, with joy, with assurance, with salvation. It's amazing. Number two, I'll put here cults and sects, where we have Revelation 22, adding to the Bible or taking away from the Bible, which verse 19, 18. If any man will add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of this book, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So you have, they are adding plus and taking away. Book of Mormon, the health and science book with the scripture by Mary Baker Eddy with the Christian Science. These are wrong. They are wrong. The Bible is the Word of God, and it's what I need. But there are trends in our culture, and there are diversions that take people away. So they even deny the deity of Christ. Verse 2, And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness, you could think of money, shall they with feigned words, that means hypocrisy, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. All right, so we have, again, you know, like shocking illustrations of how serious this world actually is. That God has made this world, and there is reality, God's reality. This is behind the book of Job. So if we look at this point, God tests Job, and in reality, the world of God, in God's world, the key was that Job, his eyes would not rule or determine for him his life. Not my eyes, not my eyes, but my ears. That's what I need. Ears. Ears to hear what? Ears to hear what God says to us, even in our darkest time, even when we're very emotional and very upset. Ears that commune with God and understand grace and the gospel. Ears that change, that relate to my heart. Psalm 40 says about Jesus that God dug his ears. I looked it up, and the Hebrew scholar said it doesn't say he opened his ears. It says he dug his ears. And that word is used a few times. It's for digging in the ground. It's like digging. So when I think of a believer, I think of how God wants the believer to not live emotionally and blaming people. Children blame their parents for how they were brought up. Unhappy people, they blame the church for failing them. We blame companies for what they did to us. We blame the government for things. We blame our relatives. It's so filled with emotion. It's emotion. And what I want to say today simply is I need my eyes changed into ears. Almost like my eyes get small, my ears get big, and I start to hear. Where is that? Well, Mark 4, verse 23 says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. I don't have ears to hear. I am angry. I don't have ears to hear. I can't hear a thing. I can't hear you. I just feel like shouting and yelling. Ask somebody to hear me. I am hurting. All right, calm down. Calm down. After a couple of days, when you calm down and you can hear, then Jesus says, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. Because he said this. He said, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. you know. Take heed what you hear. I said the other night that there are many emails I do not answer that come to me. Because the person just wants to get into an email fight. I don't do email fights. I pick up the phone or I meet the person in person. But I don't do it. I don't waste my time. How do I say this? What's the tone of the email? So I don't send them. I might write it out, but I might not send it. Probably. Well, you get the idea. The human beings must have their ears dug out if so they can hear. And even in the story of Job, he was so hurt and he was so emotional. But listen to this last thing here. Listen, the point is, the end of the story, it changed. Job was testing God. Are you good? I remember the story about the atheist who was in the midst of a crowd. He got a big crowd together. He goes, I'm going to challenge God. I'm going to challenge God, you know. God, if you are there, then strike me with lightning and knock me dead. Strike me dead with lightning if you are there. You are not. There is no God. And he's doing this for a long time in the crowd. And then he says, okay, God, go ahead. Then after a while, he goes, see, there is no God, you know. What did he prove? It just proved that he was emotional. It proved that God is not a fool like he is. It proved that God is God. And he doesn't deal with people like that. Or he does, but he does it his way. The Christian is different. A Christian fears God. A Christian makes every effort to hear him. And if he doesn't have some capacity for this, the world is filled with false teachers. They will teach people whatever they want to hear. They will also make money. Paul Peter said it. They will also make money, and he also said they're hypocrites. They're empty. It's a business. It's a business. I heard of one guy said, I got to make money for my family. Let's say I could open a restaurant, I could sell used cars, or I could start a church. I guess I'll start a church. That's what he did. He started a church. Wow. What kind of church was it? What did he know? What was his ministry? What happened? All right, so Mark 4, the ending here. Take heed what you hear, with what measure you meet. Village gossip. Does it interest you? Does village gossip interest you? Go deeper. Hear what God says. Love. If you're with the gossipers in the village, they should learn that if they're with you, you will speak the oracles of God. You will love. You will walk away. You don't need to hear it. You are different. You're different, aren't you? Didn't one of the ladies say it yesterday morning? That they said when she was in New York? You're different, aren't you? Or you are different. Who are you? Who are you? This is amazing. So Jesus says this. It shall be measured to you what measure you meet. You may reap what you sow. You may find yourself without friends. You might find yourself alone. You might find yourself filled with bitterness, filled with unforgiveness, filled with yourself, find yourself blaming God when he's actually testing you. And when you are hurt and being tested and you are humble, the Comforter will teach you. The Word of God, which is clear and necessary and sufficient, will minister to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. More comes from God to your heart. More from God to your heart. More from God to your heart. More of Jesus to your heart from God. More from God. Isn't that amazing? If I get into the Word and the Word is getting into me, my ears are dug out. My eyes are kind of like, I'm not looking everywhere. I am like hearing and seeing, and more is given to me. Why aren't you bored? Because I see there is more given to me. I see grace. I see faith. I see forgiveness. I see God. More is given to us, to him that hears. This is our blessing. Peter said in that portion that there will be false teachers. And I said there might not be much faith when Jesus comes back because people will be so filled with their emotional selves. Big eyes, learning, 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 but never coming to a knowledge of Christ. A big emotional life, devastated many times with suffering, but no freedom, no joy, no purity, no holiness, no real worship, no living God in their lives. Maybe that is where we have to look at in the future. Oh, I got to finish. It's a long rambling. That's all that this is right now, rambling. Okay, last thing. I was in sauna the other night with a new brother who came to our Bible college, and he told me his story. It was shocking how wicked and evil, how sinful. What he didn't tell me detail, but he just repeated it, how he lived. And he said even like his mother told him he should go to church, and he screams at her. And just yells at her. Like he said, it was like demonic. He said, I was total darkness. And I came to Christ and he saved me. It was like he saved me. He changed my life. He took my sin away. He said, I was suicidal. I was like totally messed up. What a story he had. I love to hear those things. You know, there is no doubt about it. We have the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. It's the very key to not only our salvation, but our future. It's what changes our life. It's what builds us up and gives us. And this is the last, he said this. He said, before I was saved, I was afraid of COVID. He goes, after I got saved, I could care less. He goes, it was such a radical change in so many areas. I am not afraid. I am not afraid at all. Like he's not afraid of anything. He is not afraid. Isn't that amazing? Not only did Jesus save us, but he made us light shining in a dark world. Our message is a real one. And it's because instead of eyes, we have ears. And because of ears, we have new eyes where we can see things much more deeply. Amen. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you. Do that miracle of salvation with somebody listening today. That miracle of grace. that gift of salvation, your Holy Spirit entering into their body and spirit and giving them eternal life as you promised. How could it be greater? What could be greater than that? All by your grace, O Heavenly Father, do that miracle as they believe you just now. They believe you and put their trust in you. We pray this in your name. Anyone listening and saying, yes, that's me, I accept Jesus as my Savior, just raise your hand here in the auditorium, and the ushers will give you a booklet. Anyone at all, yes to Jesus, yes to Jesus, in his name. Amen.